Hello, hello. How are you, Nana? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, quiet, but I enjoyed it. It was nice to have some time off work. How was yours?
It was good. It was a good Thanksgiving. It went by really quick. It's different. Mm-hmm. And the thing I did different this year was, I mean, and apparently this is old news to everyone, but I got my turkey from Popeyes.
And how was it? I'm actually really interested.
Turkey. Now it's already cooked and seasoned and all that. The only thing you have to do is get it out your freezer 72 hours before and thaw it in your fridge and then just bake it for about 2.5 hours. I did mine for 3. It didn't dry out. It was actually moist and it was actually good for someone who doesn't like turkey. So I think that's what I'll do forever.
Wait, so let me ask, was it like crispy fried or anything? Was it like Popeyes?
No.
It was seasoned, though. Interesting.
Juices, which was kind of frozen, but should have like melted. That's why you thaw it in the fridge. So then you just put it around it or whatever and use it to make gravy. But yeah.
Nice. Ideas for next year, for sure.
Yeah, it is. And it's affordable. Well, when I looked online to find out it was old news, it was much cheaper, but now it's $44, which is still reasonable.
For sure. This isn't an ad for Popeyes, guys, by the way.
No, it's not, guys.
But hey, Popeyes, if you want to give an ad, hey, we will not say no.
But yes, talking about turkey is a good segue because we are at episode 7, which was titled The Chicken Dance.
Yes.
The same family. But this is midpoint, I'm guessing. Midpoint of season 2. And how did you feel about the episode?
I liked it. I don't know what it is, but I feel like season 2 is like zooming along a bit better than season 1.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's part of finding themselves, finding their groove, and integrating, very well. So
everyone's more comfortable with the source, I guess. But yeah, I enjoyed it. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I don't think they figured out still what to do with Samantha, but I actually did enjoy the episode. It kind of made sense. They're still struggling with random things that's like, what? But it's okay. It's not that bad. But this, once again, that didn't watch, the summary is this episode is the one where a whirlwind romance turns everyone stark raving mad. That's the only way I can put it, because I'm like, what is wrong with these women? But and Samantha has yet another random storyline. I'm never gonna stop bitching about this. Because I don't understand. So I'll dive straight into it. So Carrie says telling us about how visitors are a vital part of New York's economy, yet most New Yorkers do not buy furniture or hang pictures until they have visitors. Once again, guys, bear with me. I will bitch about this, about how people think this is so, how Carrie thinks this is so different for New Yorkers. But let me tell you this, a lot of, like, for me and friends of mine, when we first graduated and stuff like that, we ain't got no money. We don't have furniture. I don't know about you, but we have furniture in our places. We just had a bed to sleep on, and then that's about it.
No, I was going to say furniture was the biggest shock of my life. Like when I moved in alone, because nobody tells you how expensive a common chair is. I could not believe how expensive furniture is. It's wild. So I feel her.
And nice furniture that will last and stuff. So I don't understand why these people keep feeling special, but whatever. But she says they don't buy furniture or hang pictures until they have visitors. We see movers at Miranda's place, and Carrie tells us everything in Miranda's apartment was handpicked and done by Charlotte's friend called Madeline Dunn, and an up-and-coming interior designer. And Madeline Dunn is played by the beloved Carrie Preston.
I love her.
Who are fans of True Blood, Good Wife, Good Fight.
It's funny because I was going to ask you, who do you think of? Because I immediately think of Elspeth Cassioni from The Good Wife. Yes. And The Good Fight. But and some people think of her character in True Blood. So I was just wondering who's like the first character of hers that comes to mind.
Good Wife. Yeah. Definitely. It's the most recent. So, so it's always like we mentioned earlier when we first started, it's always nice to see familiar faces pop up. And the only thing I noted about this scene was it was good to see that someone other than Carrie had an independent friend, because I think
The shade.
one of the first times that we saw this. So, anyways, on her way out, she kisses Miranda on the cheek, which just felt so out of character. And the only reason I mention this is because I feel like out of character was a major theme in this episode for me with Miranda. So, did you feel that way? Like when they were going on and she kissed her, like they kissed on the cheek twice?
Yeah, it stuck out to me because I'm like, this isn't very Miranda like. I don't know
What?
what you're saying about her being out of character. I think that's like a good point, and I'm sure we'll get to it. But
Yeah.
I'm always kind of going back and forth about, is it being out of character, or we just haven't seen this side of a character before? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but we'll get into it. Yeah, we'll get into it and flesh it out. You know, sometimes when we talk about stuff, then we come to an aha moment while
Yes.
saying a point, even if it's opposite of what we're saying. So we'll get to it. So Miranda tells Carrie that the sofa bed they're sitting on is what started the whole thing. And she got it for Jeremy, not knowing if he'll even sleep on it. And if he doesn't, she'll have to throw herself out a window treatment. Who is Jeremy, you ask? Jeremy, we find out, is an old friend of Miranda's who'd been in London for several years. He's been writing for The Economist, and he was coming to New York to scope out jobs. And Miranda, because she's such a good friend, suggested that he stay with her. And she asked him to because his emails were bordering on flirtatious. Like, it wasn't even our phone calls or conversations. It was our his emails were, you know what? So strike one, my antenna was already up. Like, where is this going? So Carrie segues and she tells us that she's become a frequent house guest of Biggs. We see her washing her face and asking for a spare toothbrush. And I don't know why I found it interesting, but she was actually barefaced in this scene. Did that stick out to you?
What
Because
stuck out to
usually,
me were her nips. She was nipping hard in the scene before, in that scene. Sorry, I just don't think she has fantastic boobs, but they were like right there. That's what I was looking
yeah, Carrie is a nipper. She nips hard.
Yes, but no, I
No pun
didn't
intended.
notice that her
But
face was bare.
yeah, she was bare because usually in these scenes, you know, they still have like natural makeup or whatever. Like she was actually like bare face, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. So, Big has an electronic toothbrush, and he just comes in humming, singing, like you know, humming to whatever tune. He's an old man, and just changes the head of the toothbrush while humming and gives her a kiss and then walks out. It's a pink brush head, and she's just happy that he gave it to her. And she says it's the single most encouraging gesture so far in their relationship. Thoughts?
I banged my head like against the wall when she said that, because I'm still, I don't know about you, but I'm still reeling from the fact that these people were together for apparently a year. Sorry, that still blows my mind. And secondly, I'm just okay. I mean, it was cute the way he gave her the toothbrush, but I'm just like, this is the single most encouraging sign for like a year-long relationship. Okay, sure. I'll go with it.
Let me flip it for you. So, yes, I agree. I did actually think that was really cute. And I'm like, okay, I can warm up to this relationship. You know, it's looking nice. But I think, and this is my interpretation of what she means, is the whole time she was with Big the first time, she just never felt like she was fully in. Like, Big never quite let her in. So, I'm thinking and I'm hoping she means the relationship part two, not the
Okay.
entire thing. Like this relationship, this was encouraging because he's like comfortable and he brings it to her and all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping that's what she means. So I'm like, okay, you know, I
Okay.
can roll with
Let's give
that.
Kerry the benefit of the doubt then, sure. I'll
Yeah.
go with it. I'll go with it.
So Jeremy arrives and Miranda thinks that he's even more adorable than she remembered. Especially because Carrie's telling us this, especially because when she asks how he is, he says, "I'm tired of dating and I'm ready to get married." All right, let's talk about this. This is where I'm like, I get it that Miranda wants to be with someone. She's talked about that all the time. She dates, she just wants to settle down. But this is not consistent of Miranda's character that she wants to get married. This is more Charlotte. I don't think I've ever seen Miranda react to, "Oh, I want to get married." I don't think she's particularly like said those words. And even when Charlotte and all the people do say stuff like that, she rolls her eyes and she's like, "What are you guys talking about?" So this confused me on so many levels.
I have to agree. Like, the way her face lit up like a Christmas tree, I was just like, okay, calm down. Like, I would 100% yeah. buy it if he was like, "Oh, he wants to be in a relationship. He's tired of dating around." Yeah. But marriage, you're right. She's never led with marriage. So, yeah, that did seem a bit off.
Very off. And can I just say that this whole time we're talking about this, I know it's not that long, but we still have not seen Charlotte or Samantha. I was just like, where are they? Because the scenes kept switching between Miranda and Carrie, and we haven't seen them.
It's fine. But anyway, I'll let it slide because I feel like we barely saw Miranda in a few episodes back. So
that's true. That is true. Yeah. Facts. Vengeance is mine. But so they're sitting on there, and then there's a knock on the door. They're having a bottle of wine. And Madeline, she goes, "Oh, that must be my end table." Madeline, is it Madeline or Madeline?
I think it's Madeline.
Okay, Madeline comes in with the end table, and she and Jeremy just hit it off immediately. Like, you could feel that. I could feel it through my screen. It was almost like Miranda is in their story of her life. But I do have to say, this scene was one of the best they made Miranda look. She had like a brownish gray, I don't know what color it was, bronze maybe, silk top and blue wide leg pants. And she just looked really nice to me.
I agree. I feel like the whole episode she looked good and way better than usual. You know, my issue is her hair. I feel like they got rid of the cockatoo hairstyle. And it was actually like, looked like some thought had been put into the styling. And I feel like that's what made the difference. And she wasn't dressed as a hobo as usual. So.
Yes. Yeah, because I like her hair too. Yeah. So yeah. So Miranda's trying to shoo her away and says they were about to have dinner. And Jeremy says, "Oh, why don't you join us?" to Madeline. And she does. And Miranda suddenly becomes basically the third wheel. They're at dinner and Miranda is still trying and says, "Oh, I should get Jeremy home. I'm sure that he's jet lagged." And Jeremy's like, "Nah, I'm fine. I stepped on the plane." And then why was she even trying? Like, it was so embarrassing at this point.
I had secondhand embarrassment because I'm just like, these people don't want you here, Miranda. They clearly had eyes for each other from the minute they laid eyes on, like, each other. And Miranda just came off as a hater. I was just like, "Oh, really, girl, this is awkward. This is embarrassing." So,
and you know, at some point, he basically just asked her, "Do you want to go? I can find my way. I can find my way back." And she still is trying to cock block by saying, "Oh, I don't have a copy of my key." And you know, Madeline hops in and she's like, "Oh, he can use my key." So yeah, that was that. I think she finally got the key then. But this is just like, maybe this is just a trait of Miranda, just can't give up. This is like that last episode where the guy's pushing your head and trying to watch porn and you're still giving chance after chance. Like, take a hint and dip.
Okay, then maybe it makes me think we've been too hard and maybe too on the other characters and too gentle on Miranda, because we're saying like this is out of her character to want marriage, fine, but she's also put up with things that I feel like she shouldn't have, or given people more chances than she should have. But because she presents it in a different way from Charlotte, is a bit more palatable, you know.
I think what it is higher expectations.
Okay.
Like, because she presents herself as a certain way, we expect her to know better. Okay. And do better. So when she doesn't, even if it may be like, you know, human, everybody has their weaknesses, we're like, "No, Miranda, you're the one." You know what screwed her over? That speech she gave at the diner. Like, "We're four adult women. All we talk about is boys. All we did is we should," you know, so her standards are high. expectations are.
If our standards are higher, that means the judgment is going to be higher. I'm just saying.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. But anyways, the next thing we see is that she is throwing him a going away party. This is one of those things I think you just did, because the first thing I said is, what is this going away party? Wasn't he hoping to find a job? Wasn't he going to come back?
Bad working. And then too,
did he even scope out the job scene?
No, he was busy like, flirting with Madeline.
So I'm so confused. So the going away party just for him to come back when he gets a job. So anyways, but yay, we finally get our first glimpse of Samantha and Charlotte at the party. Jeremy is giving a toast, and he starts, you know, by thanking Miranda for everything, and then also thanks her for introducing him to Madeline, and then drops the bomb who has agreed to marry him. Miranda's face drops, and she just looks like she's been hit in the gut, but I don't know what she was expecting, seeing as they've been hanging out apparently for the last week, all day long, all night long. So, I mean, not the marriage part, but just like, I mean, they're together, so move on. But clearly she hasn't.
She should have been moved on when, from the minute he laid eyes on her. I was like, this clearly is not going to happen. And we were also told it was like suggestion of flirtation. It was never that deep with her and Jeremy. No. But I think she took it further than it was intended.
That's crazy. His email was flirtatious. So we're in a scene that is one of Nana's favorites. Nana likes when all of them are together. Mm-hmm. And all four of them are on the stoop. And Miranda tells them that, and I quote, guys, everyone says as soon as you get your own place, someone will propose. I thought it would be to me. Ugh. Again, no, we've never, what? I've never had Miranda say that. And then take it away, like maybe it was even hidden. This is not consistent. In the previous episode, they talked about getting your own place where they said men will be intimidated. Charlotte even says, that's why I rent.
Yep.
So who is everyone who says when you get your own place, someone will propose? What is wrong with these people?
You know, when it comes to the writing with Sex and the City, sometimes the agenda must agend. That's all it is. Yeah.
They didn't even put effort. I think they were just thinking like, oh, our audience is, they just want the glitz, the glamour and that, and they're not focused on, you know, how deep or whatever it is. But anyways, this really, really annoyed me. I don't know, something about the whole statement. As soon as you get your own place, someone will propose, because you just went through a whole thing of getting a house and being proud of it, and you took yourself for a drink, and then now it makes it seem like the reason you got your own place is because someone will propose. It goes back to that thing I told you I didn't like, where when she was going through her own place and she had the panic attack of being alone and all that kind of stuff, it just always feels like they always have to put a reminder
on Miranda that you're gonna be alone and single forever.
Right. Yeah. Or that, you know, no, at the end of the day, you still want a man, so get whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You're still alone.
Yeah.
I don't know. So. Anyways, so Samantha says that the marriage is not going to last, that they're just trying to justify their nonstop fucking for 1 week.
Love it. Samantha.
Charlotte, who is always finding a silver lining, says that it is encouraging because it means that even if you're not dating, you can be engaged in a few weeks. Oh my God. I'm getting dumber by watching this. And then Samantha says, I don't understand why people are obsessed with getting married when married people just want to be single again. Nana, over to you. Agree this or disagree?
I feel like we've done this in about 6 different episodes now, haven't we?
Yes.
It's another rehash.
Different variations.
Yes. And I mean, hey, I just feel like people always want what they don't have. I feel like that's kind of evident in real life, in everyday life. Seems, not all of them, but I've heard from a lot of my married friends and other married people, like, oh, you don't know how lucky you are, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to worry about this, that. You know what I mean? Like, the grass is always greener. I feel like that's just human nature, so I don't put much stock in it.
I just want to reiterate my, because I think every time we have this variation of this, I always say, not necessarily like the married people, but I think it's those with kids. That's where it changes, where it's not, because on the flip side of it, because of, social media and dating apps and everything, I think dating has become more of a jungle. Not that it's not always been of a jungle. So I get a lot of people just saying, thank God I'm not out there because it's a jungle and it's hard or whatever. But what they like is the freedom to do whatever you want without the responsibilities,
Yeah.
if that makes any sense.
That's what I'm saying. A
So,
lot of modern dating is literally just being stuck in a hell of
yeah.
nobody willing to make a commitment. And you're just
But,
going
yeah.
like sometimes I shudder, like we complain about Carrie and Big now. Like back in the 90s, late 90s. I just feel like imagine if these two were dating now. Oh my God. They would never, ever, ever commit to each other. They'd be together for like
Never.
5 years, talking around and seeing each other. That's exactly what would happen. It'd be even worse.
It's such a crazy thing because I think a lot of it is also human nature thinking or expecting that there's always better. And I always tell people, I had someone say that they don't agree with me, but I do think that there is always better. It doesn't matter who you end up with. It's just that because when you choose to commit, it's like a choice or a decision that you made. You just put work into that versus always looking for the better. Because looking for the better just gets you in trouble. If you're looking for the better, you might find it, but then find that when real life, of course, the new is always exciting. But the new is exciting because it doesn't come with all the history and all the baggage and all the things. So then where do you separate the line between this is a better that is better, or this is a better that is better because of the circumstance where it's a new thing? I don't know, being human is complicated.
I think that's a really good point, actually. But the more I think about that, do I agree with you? I actually think I do. Because I don't think there's just one person in the world for everybody. I feel like you can
Oh,
make it work with several people, but you're right. I feel like it's the commitment to make the relationship work. Obviously, with
yeah.
a basis of like respect and hopefully love
Yeah.
and like all of that. And that will aid in the success of the marriage. But I feel like, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's the willingness to commit and make
Yeah.
things work regardless. That's what matters the most.
My theory is that a lot of people, no, you can make it work with almost anyone, like for the most part. What is different is the varying degrees of how much work you have to put it into work. So a lot of people are not married to like a not their person, but one of their people or one of their persons. So because of that, it's much harder because you have to put in a lot more work because
And
they're
then
not one of your persons.
you have to weigh if the work is worth the result.
Yes. 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 Because it's funny. I have a friend who's married to someone, like they've been married for like, oh God, a long number of years, almost 15 years or something like that. And they get along great, they go away or whatever, and they're basically for each other. But before him, there was someone else that she was almost married to. And I asked after, and I was like, oh my God, what if you had just ended up with X? And she was just like, I mean, I think it would have worked. I just wouldn't have known that it could be easier. Because there are people who think, oh, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of work. But no one ever defines a lot of work, what it means, and all that kind of stuff until you're in it. So she just would never know. It would be a case of well, working, but she would think, oh, this is how it is. I'm supposed to work this hard. But with her now husband, it is easier. She never would have known that because she would have ended up with him and think, oh, this is just what you do when you're married and it's hard
That's a
work.
good point. I remember once I wanted to say arguing, I was debating with my dad because he was like, yeah, marriage is easy. The people who find it hard is because they married the wrong people. And I'm like, I feel like that's very reductive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, and also, sorry, like I love my dad, but you're also a man. Maybe my mom
Yeah,
would find it
I was gonna
completely
say
different. Because you
that.
get a lot of things done for you because of patriarchy, you know?
Yes.
But I mean, on the flip
Yes.
side, my dad also takes very good care of my mother. But, and
Yes.
I think with my parents, what I can see and I've seen my whole life is that they actually like each other as people.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's made it easier for them. It's that they're each other's friends and they actually like each other's people. So they want to make each other happy on that level, even aside from romantically. Yeah. So I feel like it's very reductive to say, yeah, marriage is easy when my dad was 25, my mom was 22 when they got married. And that's like all you've known.
Yeah.
You don't understand like the different vagaries and of a modern world. Like dating is not the same as it was back in your day. And you can't say marriage is easy because you lucked out and you found like someone you like. Some people have to work harder. That's all it is.
Yes. Absolutely. And they don't know any better. And to them, they think that's how it should be. And then you find people who are like in not the best situations, but they're like, it's not going to get better anyway. So why not the devil you know?
Yep. Because we've talked about this before. Some people think you're going to suffer regardless. So you might as well just buckle your seatbelt and keep it pushing.
Yeah.
And I do not subscribe to that. I'm not put on this earth to suffer. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was a tangent and a half. Anyway.
But yeah, so back to the show. A guy walks up to them and asks where the engagement party is, which made me laugh. And Samantha offers to take him there while Miranda is salty AF. And she corrects the guy. She's like, it's not an engagement party. It's a going away party. I'm like, girl, just let it go.
Let it go. Like, I literally wanted to sing that to him. Like, girl, we get it. Okay? Stop it.
She continues her saltiness. And Miranda says her apartment, that she gets it now. Her apartment is going to be lucky for everybody but her. And as they're walking back to the apartment, Miranda blames Charlotte and says if she never introduced them, he would have fallen in love with her. Oh my God. I this just gets worse by the second. But then Miranda continues. She's like, what am I doing wrong? Why not me? Am I invisible? And my heart softens for her because I want to say most women have been in this position.
Yeah.
Where you feel, you know, what is it that I'm doing? What am I, you know, am I like, we've talked about the invisibility too. So I guess we're at the stage where the topics are showing up in different ways or different versions of stuff. But we've talked about the whole, you know, feeling invisible as a woman and all that kind of stuff. But
and I feel like Miranda clearly suffers from it more in her group of friends.
Yeah. Oh, the writers hate her. So you said that before, so. So to make it worse, they're at the door and the doorman stops them and asks, how can I help you? And Miranda just yells, I live here.
But wait, you didn't you just move in not that long ago? Relax.
I mean, the other thing I thought about was like, you know, Samantha left. Clearly she didn't have a problem because she's inside the building. Oh. But hey, whole other, let me let that go. So Carrie says she needed a reality check. As soon as she gets home, she calls Big to ask if being engaged after a week is weird. And again, another conversation that I found weird because honestly, I don't think these are the things Big cares about. Big doesn't care about a lot of things. So Big just seems like, listen, and he's an old man. This man was in bed already. Like, she's always trying to make conversation. Big is just like, dude, where are we eating? Are we having sex? Or because he's like, no, it's not shocking. And Big said if they called each other soulmates, like, he was asking about the couple, Madeline and Jeremy. He says if they called each other soulmates, he gives them 3 months. What are you wearing? He just divvy. I don't think this man is capable of.
I don't think he cares. You know, I'm the opposite. I actually do think Big has thoughts, but he just doesn't want to discuss them with Carrie because I feel like if he gets into deep conversations with her, he's scared that she's going to make more of it than he's willing to give.
You know what? That sounds okay. Yeah, because he does have answers, but it's just that she has to probe and probe, and then I get a little embarrassed for her. Like, if I'm dating someone like Big, I'm not gonna ask him this. Call Stanford. Where is Stanford, by the way?
Yeah, it's true. We haven't seen him. Like, but do you see what I mean? Carrie keeps trying to. Yeah. She's trying to make him more than he's willing to give.
No, I agree. So. He goes, what are you wearing? Carrie just randomly asks if he believes in love at first sight. He goes, no, he believes in lust at first sight. Honestly, the people who believe in love are, I don't
I love that you didn't even ask me if I believed in love at first sight.
I don't know, because I don't even know what to say about it, but I do just want to say that I find Big and Carrie's conversations awkward. Because she's like a little girl. All I hear when she's talking to him is, love me, please love me. And he's like, oh, little girl, I'm here already. What else do you want from me?
That's, I just feel like it's two people clearly on different pages at all times. Oh,
so Carrie wonders if it's still possible to believe at love at first sight. And they do that montage stupid thing. I'm not wasting my time. But Madeline is the first person in the montage. And she says, the people who don't believe are the people who haven't experienced it. And I gotta say, that made me pause. Because my whole thing is to poo-poo on it. But I'm like, is this true? But then how can you love someone that you know nothing about? But on the flip, I remember a friend of mine, her now husband, I remember that he saw her. He didn't really know her, but just had an idea. But he said there and then he had that thought that regardless of what it is, because, you know, everybody comes with some kind of baggage or thing mm-hmm. or whatever. He's like, regardless of what hers is, in this moment, I just feel like I am willing to whatever it is, will make it happen because I have to be with her.
Oh, wow.
Okay, go.
I'm trying to think. I've met people that I knew that person was going to be in my life. From like when I saw them. Not that.
Oh.
I wouldn't say it's love at first sight. Oh, please. But I just knew they would be in my life in some capacity from then on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it wasn't love. And also, my thing is when people say love at first sight, well, I guess my answer's in the wording. It's like, is it just laying eyes on someone? Is it the first time you actually talk to the person? Because I've definitely had a first conversation with someone when I was just like, okay, all right, maybe this could go somewhere just from one conversation. But what definitely wasn't love, it was like immediate interest, knowing that it could be something real. So
potential at first sight,
yes. Like immediate. So sometimes I feel like when people say love at first sight, do you actually mean love, or is it like, oh, I want to be with this person, like immediately, which I understand and I'm a bit more willing to believe. But love, yeah. You know, I feel like people throw around the word love far too easily. Love at first sight, I don't believe exists. But I have met someone and thought, yeah, this person is going to be in my life in some way from when I saw them.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people, they meet someone and they say they just felt something in them that was like, this is my wife, this is my husband, this is whatever. Now, can we call whatever that feeling is love? I don't know.
Yeah. See, it's so twisty, isn't it? It's not simple.
I think it's basically just that thing of like how everyone believes in a higher power. What you choose to call it varies. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Some people say the universe. Some people say God. Some people say something else. So I don't know what that feeling is. Some people say it's lust. Some people say it's love. I think for me, if my friend didn't have that story, because to me, I feel like love is a everyday decision to be committed to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, what he described is close to what I define as love, where he's like, regardless of what it is, what I feel right now is like, I just want to be, you know, in her life, and I will be with her regardless of whatever it is. We'll get through it together.
Yeah.
So to me, that is, but how many people actually experience that? But
and then maybe Madeline is right. It's one of those things you can't know until you've experienced it.
So that made me pause about that. So yeah. So somehow, it's not her friend, but Carrie is with Madeline in wedding planning. You know, Charlotte is her friend, but Charlotte is not with this girl at all. But somehow it is Carrie that is with her. So she mentions that Charlotte is a bridesmaid, Miranda's in guest books. I swear to God, they hate this girl. And she tells Carrie that she's a fan and she wants her to write something, you know, for the wedding. At lunch, I don't know what it was, lunch, brunch, whatever they're doing together, all four of them, Carrie is lamenting, agreeing to write, and Samantha blurts out, oh, I might have to get married. And Carrie was like, what? That made me laugh. But she says that the guy that she met that walked up to them in the stoop, that they hooked up, and he's all, talk my hair. And then she realized that it was deja vu because she slept with him before.
Yeah, this was wild to me. I'm sorry. This is me being a Charlotte in this episode, because Charlotte was so like, how can you not remember someone you slept with before? And I thought the exact same thing. But then I took a step back and I was like, okay, think of the sheer number of people Samantha must have slept with. I guess it's not that shocking what happened to her, but to me, it's still a bit wild. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I got to say it is kind of wild. Like, that's crazy, though. But again, like you said, she's in her 40s. She started young. So maybe, give or take 18. That's like what?
He said 15 years ago, right? That they slept together. So, yeah. And I guess so if he doesn't look the same. I will say, okay, I've been hit on by the same guy twice, which I thought was crazy. I don't know if it's the same thing. But it was like a year and a half apart. And whether he asked me out again, I was like, is he joking? Does he not remember? He's asked me out before. And I said no. So I thought it was like a whole ploy, realizing that this man did not remember at all that he'd asked me out previously. So that's like the only time I've ever like been in any kind of similar situation, even though it's not the same thing. And that was wild to me. So I can't imagine having sex with someone and not remembering. And picking them up again and be like,
oh, let me ask you this. Do you remember everybody you've kissed?
Yes. Why the pause? I'm thought thinking... judgment in the pause.
No, there's no judgment. I'm just like, I don't know if I can say yes. I think I do, but every now and then when I go through it, then I'm like, oh yeah, I did that. Oh yeah, I did kiss that person. I didn't quite remember. So,
but you haven't forgotten. Okay, difference.
Yes, I think the difference is if I saw them, hopefully I'd remember.
Actually, you know what? There's some people I've kissed, if I saw them, I wouldn't remember. But that's also because I was very young. I was either a teen or like very early 20s. And it was like a one time, like, you know, you're going out, you make out with someone pre-corona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Remember. Yeah. I wouldn't. But I feel like if I'd had sex with someone, I would definitely remember.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
But anyways, she brings it up to him. I was like, I think I've had sex with you. And he just keeps going, say, yeah, 15 years ago. He wasn't even fazed. Because I was expecting him to be like, I have. But he, like, yeah, I did. So Samantha rightfully asked, why did you say something? He's like, oh, I just thought it was some kind of stranger game.
Do you know what? I dug it. Because that's so something she would do. It's not like out of her character. So, hey.
So Charlotte is confused. And I don't know why she seemed to get a little upset. She's like, how did you forget? And then Karen says, Toto is not in single digits anymore. That really cracks me up.
See? That's what I'm saying. I can understand how Samantha would forget. Like, once I stopped and took a step back, because she slept with so many people that you've got to forget someone somewhere, you know? But yeah.
So Charlotte says, well, I can't forget because I keep a list. I'm like, we are too, Charlotte. We're keeping your list.
Okay, so but she says that even in the two seasons, well, 1.5 seasons of Sex and the City we've had, she slept with quite a few people. So is she really telling me she remembers every... Well, she does keep...
Yeah, lips, because she keeps her wrist. But that's what I want to talk about, is that is weird because, you know, all these things, like, I read Lamar Odom's biography and he said he slept with, like, thousands of... Like, how do you... When all these athletes and stuff come up with, like, I've slept with whatever, or even on Love Island where they say this, where these 22-year-olds have slept with 100 people.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you know? I think it's weird to do this. I think that is very weird.
I remember when I was in sixth form, how old was I? I must have been, 16 or 17. There was a guy in our year who slept with 28 girls. You see, I still remember the number. And I remember being like, yo, how did this happen? You're 16 years old. How did you find 28 women to sleep with? And most of it was like on those kind of English, very English vacations to like Greece and Ibiza, you know? And it's like a game between him and his friends, seeing how many girls they can sleep with, like, while they're there. So they keep count. They won't know their names, but they keep count.
That's gross.
Yeah, very disgusting.
So Samantha brings it back and says that she's officially out of mental fuck, so either she gets married or she moves. But Charlotte is done with the conversation, and she's just like, my bridesmaid's dress is so pretty. It's a backless black satin. And Samantha says, ooh, that's sexy for a bridesmaid. And all she said was, oh, that's sexy for a bridesmaid. And then Charlotte just loses it. She's just like, I've been tasteful for 7 weddings, and this time they will look at me. And she's slamming her fist on the table. I'm like, what is wrong with everybody?
She was odd one, but yeah.
You know what? She actually even had the sanest reaction to this, because I thought she would be all, why not me? Why not whatever? But I think Miranda had took the cake for this one. So Carrie and Big are in bed, and I have to say, Carrie looks so pretty with her hair pulled back and all that. Big asks, when is this wedding? And Carrie says, oh, it doesn't matter, you're not going. He goes, oh, yes, I am. I'm coming to see you read that poem or whatever. But I had a thought, though. How did Samantha get an invite?
They come in a group. they do everything together. Because were they given if they were given plus ones, that's what she could have been. Plus one.
Okay. All right. 4 weeks later, it's time for the wedding, and Carrie's telling us that things are going good with her and Big. Every time she says that, she sounds like she's trying to convince herself that things are going good, whatever. Carrie is in a blush strapless gown.
By the way, I write in my notes, Carrie's dress is ugly.
I don't think it was flattering. Angle I had wasn't
I said, she has great boobs, but the dress completely squished her. So she had no boobs from the side, and she looked like a mummy that had gotten unraveled. So I'm like, I can see the vision of this dress, but on her, I thought it looked terrible. It just jumped out at me.
So Big shows up at her door and looking dapper in his tux and all that. It's always weird seeing Big at her house, because I just feel like he feels like the place is beneath him. So good on you, but coming out the car. But she tells Big that, oh, I left the card. This is all like the American process for a wedding to me. I just found it fascinating. I left the card for you to sign. He says, oh, I don't need to, since they're your friends. And she goes, they aren't my friends, and your name was on the invitation. And that this is the first time that she didn't get Carrie and guests. Big says, really? His face changed visibly.
Yep.
And he's like, how did you get my name? And Carrie's like, I'm not sure. Maybe Charlotte. But, you know, you don't have to sign the card. Not a big deal. Once again, it is a big deal to you, Carrie. Speak up, child. Speak up.
This scene was so painful to me.
Why?
It was just like, this man does not rate you. And he's shown you again. He's shown you again that he does not rate you. It was just so painful, because you could see like Carrie's hopes just being dashed in real time. That's all. And it was such a minor thing. And I just really felt for her, because I've had men do something, you know, where they'll make like one comment, and in your head, you're like, oh, this is how this man sees me, or this is where he places me in his life. And then you have to make that decision whether it is okay or not. And I could see it happening, because I'm like, this man does not rate you. Like, come on, a wedding invitation, put your name on the card. Like, how is that any kind of big deal? And then the question, how did they find out my name? Are you a secret? Because that's what you're implying. I don't know.
Yeah. And I've always said, don't be in a relationship where you seek out the good moments. It should be a constant good, not like forever, like everything's perfect, but don't. So that when the good moments happen, you're grasping to it. Because back when they were in the bed, she already said, defense mechanism. She's like, oh, it doesn't matter, you're not coming anyways. Like, she's already setting him up. So for him to even say he was coming, even I was surprised. But you could see her face light up. Like, oh my God, this means he wants to be with me in public. Like, that's sad.
He's throwing her scraps. That's all it is.
Yes. Stop chasing for crumbs. Like, let it be a thing where you're confident enough to say, you are coming with me to this wedding. Even if you don't like weddings, I want you to. You're my boyfriend. Yep. Like, no. But anyways, Miranda is at her station at the guest book, and people are ignoring, like, the whole theme is people are ignoring Miranda. Be you a man, be you a guest, be you anything, the doorman. Everybody's just ignoring Miranda this episode. But she looked good. I liked her dress. It was like a black and LBD with a sheer sleeves and, you know, chest area. It was really nice. It was a midi dress, I think.
Yeah, she did.
And Samantha had, I think it was gold champagne.
Samantha looked fantastic. Dress. I love that dress on her.
Yeah, and it's strapless. You know, Samantha don't care. Samantha's a surfer. She's like, eh, we can see who's arriving alone. So Carrie comes with the gift and she asks where the gift table is. And Miranda says, I am not the gift person. Go ask maybe another B-list friend has it.
Ouch.
This is a B-list friend. That's sad. And then Samantha sees the guy that she stepped with before and says, oh my God, my rerun is here. Again, that cracked me
up. Samantha's so funny as hell to me. I don't care. Her comedic time in Kim Cattrall is fantastic. I love it.
Please. So Miranda is Carrie's therapist. So Carrie asks her, should I be bothered that he won't sign the card? And Miranda's like, yeah, he's here at the wedding. Not a big deal. But Charlotte arrives, and for all the hype for the dress, it was so regular to me.
I feel you like know. It was a bit risque, especially for Charlotte. But yeah, you're right. With all that hype, I expected way worse. It is very low back.
It was the low back. That was pretty much, it was backless and it was low back. But other than that, I was like, oh, this was it. It wasn't even form-fitting or anything. Anyways, so a guy comes up asking, his name is Martin Hilly, and he's like, you know, I think something about the bridesmaid, and he's like, he turns out to be the guy who's walking Charlotte down the aisle. Again, sparks flying, very visible. Miranda says she's been here half an hour and he never even looked at her. Again, feeling invisible. Carrie finds out that she's in the program and she's surprised because she barely knows them. Miranda sets herself up and asks, am I in there? I'm like, as what though?
Carrie, you're in the program because you're reading a poem. That's why. Yeah. Like, come on.
So I don't know why Miranda's asking if she's in there. Is what? The guest? I don't know. But anyway, of course she's not in there. So Miranda's still salty and Samantha's like, don't worry, it's not going to last. And they're doing, they're cheering and everyone's like, hippie hooray. And Big tries to sit because he's done. And Carrie's like, stop it, stand. He's supposed to stay up. So Martin Healy is giving a speech and he says, I've known Jeremy a long time. And Miranda says out loud, which is more than the bride could say, dude, let it go. They're literally getting married now.
So Miranda irritated me so much. Like, after yeah. the first couple of scenes, I'm just like, okay, girl, we get it. Like, shut up. And I feel like yeah. if I was her friend in real life, I'd be like, okay, give it a rest. We've heard you. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, she's ready. So Charlotte shushes her, and Carrie is about to read her poem. I don't know why she called herself a dead woman walking. So I thought like she was going to bomb the poem, but she starts it and it actually sounded so pretty good. Mm-hmm. I liked it. And in the middle of the poem, Big gets a call and this man actually stepped away. This is the very reason he said he came, but he stepped away during her poem. And Carrie says in that moment, it hit her that two people were committing, but she couldn't even get a guy to be on a card with her, and I felt so bad.
Do you know what? It wasn't even, it was a double whammy for me. First, like, your phone wasn't even on silent, so it rang in the middle of her touching poem. Yeah. So that interrupted her flow. And then you get up and leave and have a conversation. The one thing that she's in this wedding to do, you couldn't sit through it for her. Like, oh. He's so disappointing. I'm sorry.
Then, you know, she starts crying, but she, you know, kind of hides it like it's tears of joy and stuff or whatever. And I've told y'all before in this podcast, Miranda will always eat. It doesn't matter what it is. And she chews very not pretty, but she will eat. So she's eating and she asks Charlotte for the salad dressing, but Charlotte is not listening because she's busy planning her life with Martin. Big comes back to the table saying it was work and did he miss anything? And Carrie, passive aggressive as always, she goes, my poem and most of the reception, but nothing a slow dance won't forgive. And this motherfucker says, eh,
Maybe later. I hate dancing when people are eating.
I'm like, you should be doing everything to make up for your behavior right now. And Big is not stupid. Like, you already know you stepped in it with the whole gift card, signing the card situation. You missed her poem. You can't dance with her? Come on. I don't know. I just feel like he wants to be disrespectful at this moment. I don't know.
There were two things that stuck out with me. When he says he doesn't like dancing when people are eating, I remember that episode. I think it was two episodes ago. They were dancing at a restaurant. I don't forget nothing. So I know it's bad writing, but I'm blaming it on Big this time. But they were dancing at a restaurant because I was thinking, oh, these guys are actually happy or whatever. And then the second thing is, this is exactly what I hate about Big. I'm going far down into the show, but I always hated how he called her a kiddo.
Yep.
That just the heck out of me. But he always makes her feel small and unsure.
Yep.
And that's not a good trait for a partner. Like, if you're not comfortable with me, what are we even doing?
And he's patronizing. You're 100% right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and it's not a good match because Carrie is passive aggressive and she just goes, I'll be at the bar. And then she stomps off. Like, girl, say your mind.
Not there, though. I would have thought it was tacky for her to say her mind right there and then. You're maybe at a wedding in front of other people. Mm-hmm.
So, Samantha's at a bar where a dude is saying he knows her and she's all, yeah, we probably fucked. He goes, no, I think he probably in college. She goes, yeah, then we probably fucked there. And I don't know what to do with Samantha. That's pretty much what it was. And then Samantha asked, she joined Samantha and they're talking about the speech. And she's like, oh, that was pretty good. But yeah, I didn't get that. Why were you crying? Samantha doesn't get emotional, really. And she says, Big took a call during her poem because it is not important and nothing is important to Big. And then while they're talking, they see that Charlotte is going upstairs with Martin. Martin says, Miranda says, if they get married less than a month, I am not going to that wedding.
She couldn't take it happening twice.
Can't take it anymore. So Charlotte is getting the honeymoon bed ready with petals and all that kind of stuff. One thing leads to another. They sleep together on the bed. I think that was gross because that same bed is where presumably the bride and the groom are also going to sleep together.
Yeah, so what I would have been pissed if it was me. Use the floor or something, not my honeymoon bed.
So after they were done, she wondered, and Carrie tells us that Charlotte was wondering if she'd made a rookie mistake by sleeping with him, you know, after just meeting him. And it made me think of you and how your frustration with Charlotte is just that she's always wondering what other people think and if it makes her wife material or not, just because I wanted to do this, so I did it. Mm-hmm. Deal with it. So but I guess she felt better because he immediately says, I want to introduce you to my parents. And to Charlotte, that is, oh man, we're going in the right directions. Her parents seem nice. Charlotte is dancing with his dad and his mom asks if she's the one. And from nowhere, the dad grabs her ass.
Oh.
Martin cuts in saying, isn't my dad great? He's my role model. And Charlotte just, she didn't stop. She just tells him immediately, like, no, that your dad just grabbed my ass. And Martin did not take this well. He goes, my parents have been married 50 years and it's not going to cause problem because of, he's not going to cup a feel from someone just because of her slutty dress.
And yeah. I'm like, whoa. I gasped. Whoa. And I was like, what an asshole. I could, oh man. This is like everything, like, yeah, it's general, haha, men are trash. But this is like typical toxic masculinity right there. This woman's legit just told you your dad copped a feel. You're immediately basically blaming her. Do you know what I mean? Denying and blaming her at the same time. So which is it? Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mic? Like, what is it? How can you cop a feel simultaneously and didn't Copperfield, like, what's going on here? Oh, it just really annoyed me. That whole scene made me so bad. Because that's something that you could see happening in real life. People's reaction to that.
Definitely. And then Carrie goes one step further because it was something I didn't think about, but she was like, assuming she even decided that she was going to be with him, she said there was one thing that she learned is that he would never take her side.
Yep. I didn't regardless think of that what immediately happened. Either. And I was like, yeah, that is such a good point.
I cannot believe that she yelled out, did the last 4.5 hours mean nothing to you out loud in the wedding? And also no one turned.
So like, you're Big, way better off without him, please.
So Big asks Carrie if she's ready to go, and she's still salty and tells him, no, you can go if you want to. And then he asks, what's wrong? I can't count how many scenes these people have where Big is like, what is wrong this time? And then she goes, you don't want the same things. I want someone who will be with me till the end of a wedding. And then he goes, okay, I'll stay. And that's, this is so frustrating. Every time something happens, Big just says something that's so inconsequential. And Carrie's like, oh, okay. And then that's it. And I'm like, because he says, okay, I'll stay. And she goes, oh, really? And then that's it.
She's begging for scraps. That's all it is. I feel so bad for her, but that's entirely, that's all she's doing. Begging for scraps.
She asks him to get cake while she says bye, and they throw the bouquet, and the bouquet lands at their feet, and they don't even react, not even Charlotte. And I don't know if I got that part.
Yeah, it seemed very out of character. I agree with you. I feel like Charlotte, oh, maybe it's because that scene had just happened, so maybe she was over it. I guess that makes sense. She had literally just had that horrible scene with Martin or whatever his name is. Miranda's still being a bitter Betty. Samantha's avoiding men in general because she thinks she slept with everyone, left in New York, and Carrie's beefing with Big.
Yeah, I still didn't get it. Mm. But yeah, they go and they're going home, and as they're walking, they go arm in arm, and Carrie tells us, some people knew that they were meant to be together. I knew I was supposed to eat cake in bed with Big. And I put down 3 question marks, like, what the fuck? What? How are you supposed to know? You just went through a gamut of emotions. The man made you cry.
My whole thing is, look, Carrie and Big 2.0, nothing has changed. They still haven't. I feel like Carrie thinks she's expressing herself more, but she's making the same mistakes as she did the first time. Big hasn't changed for me since the first time. He's still the same man. He's not willing to commit. Everything is like pulling teeth from him. He's very nonchalant, patronizing. Like, nothing's changed. So if you're going to deal with it, you're here, but don't come crying to me later. That's all. Just saying.
Also, what does fuzzy glove types mean? She says they were the fuzzy glove types.
Do you know, I was going to ask you that too. That was the last line. I was like, what do you mean? The fuzzy glove type. Okay.
Yeah. Anybody out there knows what that means? We're too lazy to Google, but I had no idea what that was. I was just going to ask Nana. But yeah, that's how the episode ended. So while the characters were frustrating, I actually enjoy this episode.
Yes. You know, my main thing, I always enjoy it when they're together. And we're together for a big chunk of this. So yeah. I liked it. I liked it, apart from those two annoying human beings. But I guess we're in it for the long haul with them. So
yeah,
let me stop whining. But yeah, it was enjoyable.
So yeah, guys, that's all we have for you. As always, if you want to reach out to us, we are always open. You can reach us on Instagram and Twitter on The Rewatch Times 2, TheRewatchX2, and also an email at gmail.com, the same thing. And we hope to see you back here next week with episode 8.
Yes, thank you for listening, guys. Have a great week.